It's time for the Taking Notes Podcast with Julian Robichaud and Bruce Elgort.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 114 of the Taking Notes Podcast for July 7th, 2010. My name is Bruce Elgort, and I am here with
Julian Robichaud.
And Julian, where have we been for the last 4 months?
I don't know, Bruce. I think we've both been like heads down with work or something. I don't know. Just haven't been podcasting, I guess.
Yeah, you know, in fact, you and your family were kind enough to allow me to stay at your house back in May when I spoke at the Atlanta Lotus User Group, and I had my podcasting recorder with me, but we were just having too much fun.
Yeah.
You know, where else do I get to drive a golf cart, you know, around Peachtree City?
Nowhere else.
It was fun, actually, and I bet you were scared.
I was frightened. Yeah, I was. I was scared to death, Bruce.
So, talking about scary things, today we talked about Lotus Live with Chris Blatnick from IBM. And, Julian, why don't you tell us a little bit about Lotus Live? Yeah, I stuck you with that. And then and then we'll listen to what Chris has to say and our questions that we asked him.
Well, I think I'll answer that with a... Chris will tell us all about Lotus Live here in a minute. Chris, you know, he has a notes background. He came from the Lotus Notes world. He's been at IBM for a couple of years. Recently, his responsibilities grew so that he's now working a lot with Lotus Live, the Lotus Live product, I guess. And somewhat on the sales side of that. And so he's got a lot of knowledge about that, but also he's got kind of a little bit of a notes background too. So we're hoping that we could bring him in and hear about Lotus Live really from the standpoint of someone like us, right? Not just someone who kind of comes from nowhere and is just telling us all about the cloud. And so Chris has just kind of given us a good overview of what some of the offerings are and really just how big it is. Lotus Live is not just one thing, it's a bunch of things. And we just touch on a lot of little different aspects of it.
Yeah, I was blown away by the number Chris gave for the annual revenue for, cloud services. You know, what was it? How many billions? Was it 48 billion, Julian?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Just on some number. So great discussion with Chris. Enjoy it. And if you have any comments, leave some comments on the Taking Notes blog. Ready, Julian?
Yeah, ready. And good to talk to you again, Bruce.
Yeah, I mean, we talk, Julian, but talk and have the record button going.
All right, no one ever listens.
Exactly. This week in Lotus came around, right? Stuart and the gang, and who else came around with a podcast? Those 1352 Report guys, they're still around, and it's time for us to be back.
Here we are.
Chris, welcome back to the Taking Notes Podcast.
Thank you, Bruce. I'm very glad to be here again.
So, Chris, what you've been up to? You're an IBMer for all those people who don't know. And first of all, what have you been up to and what do you do for IBM?
For IBM, my new role actually that I took on this year is something called the Technical Collaboration Leader. And I've been working as an IT specialist across the Lotus brand for the last few years and basically a member of the sales team. As dirty as that makes me feel when I say that, member of the sales team from a technical perspective, helping our customers really leverage the entire portfolio. And in this new role, I'm working with customers primarily focused around helping them get more value out of their Lotus Notes and Domino investment, as well as helping them when they're interested in our cloud solution, especially as it relates to Lotus Live.
Right, and that's why we have you on the show today to talk about those things and especially Lotus Live. Julian, I don't know about yourself, but you know, I've used Lotus Live. I get it from the perspective that it's this cloud-based service. I have file sharing. I have same time type online meetings. I have a whole bunch of things that you know I've typically had in my notes client, but now they have this set of software as a service things that are way less than notes, right, Chris?
There's certainly components that are there, and we'll talk about the different offerings that we have within Lotus Live. And in fact, I mean, there is notes available in the cloud, as you'll see. But to get the full benefit of notes and Domino, we're really looking at leveraging something we call the hybrid model. So I'm sure we'll talk about that.
Okay. And I did some more research. Like I said, I've used it. And I use it with IBMers a lot to share files back and forth for presentations, case studies, and stuff like that. But we have a whole list of Lotus Live services. Lotus Live Connections, Lotus Live Engage, Lotus Live iNotes, Lotus Live Notes, Lotus Live Events, and then there's another one or two, right, Chris?
Lotus Live Meetings.
Right.
Yep. Okay. You got it.
Right. Yeah. Now, Chris, this is Julian, because I know that people get me and Bruce confused a lot.
You're the one who makes sense, and I'm the one who talks in circles sometimes. But,
I'm the other guy.
Okay.
So the Lotus Live that I'm kind of familiar with is really around meetings and files. I've used the online meetings quite a bit. It's worked very well with external customers. It's really nice because I can have an account on there and do a web conference with someone who does not have an account on there. And works very much like GoToMeeting or something like that. And then the files, which is file sharing, I use that a tiny bit, really not too much. Now, if there's someone who's just kind of interested in these sort of base requirements or these basic things within Lotus Live, what kind of package would they be looking at in terms of buying something that they could use for meetings and file shares?
Right. So we've got really Lotus Live is separated into a couple different buckets in terms of how we present it. And I guess the first thing just to introduce to people that aren't familiar yet with Lotus Live, it's our strategy for moving forward for email and collaboration in the cloud. And it's more than just throwing some services out there from a collaboration standpoint and just say go and locking you into some unique and proprietary infrastructure. We're really looking, as we do with our on-premises deployments of the Lotus suite, is to be very open and to allow you to integrate as much as possible. But one of the things that we see from a strategy perspective in the cloud is the fact that when you're talking about collaboration, we do a pretty good job of collaborating within the enterprise. Most of us that have been in the Notes and Domino space for a long time, and we've been doing collaboration behind the firewall for quite a long time. But collaborating outside of those boundaries, beyond the enterprise, is really a pain point that we see a lot of customers struggling with. And so some of the unique aspects that we have with Lotus Live is the fact that we can actually, because it's a multi-tenant environment, you actually have the ability of somewhat breaking down those walls and allowing customers to come together and collaborate across the Lotus Live platform. And they can do so whether they're actually paying customers of Lotus Live or not. So, for example, I could be a Lotus Live customer wanting to share a file with some of my partners who don't have Lotus Live. I can actually still share that file out with them, and they'll be able to come in. They'll receive an email. They'll be able to come in and access that and start collaborating with me. So there's a lot really to our strategy in terms of the cloud, and obviously there's a lot of smarter people than me within IBM, but I can give you kind of the viewpoint from a person that's out there on the ground selling this stuff. But back to your question, there are really three main pillars of offerings around Lotus Live. There's web conferencing, and you alluded to the fact that you use Lotus Live Meetings. And Lotus Live Meetings is really a very easy-to-use, full-featured conferencing service that we have available. Lotus Live Events adds some additional features on top of that, different additional tools that allow you to manage very large webinars for up to close to 1,000 attendees, and where you have the ability to send out email invites and do polls and things like that. So the web conferencing is really encompassed by Lotus Live Meetings and Lotus Live Events. We have the email side of the house, where we have Lotus Live Notes and Lotus Live iNotes, so basically email in the cloud. And then we have the collaborative features, things like, as you mentioned, file sharing and activities, things that will be familiar to those of you that have looked at Lotus Connections. We have some of those types of capabilities available here in collaboration space. So we actually have Lotus Live Connections, which gives you the files and activities components along with email, and then Lotus Live Engage, which is really the full integrated suite of everything. So with Lotus Live Engage, you get all of the files, the activities, you get some additional forms capabilities via our Turbo Forms, basically integrated within Lotus Live. You get the Lotus Live meeting capability as well as email. So there's a lot of different ways you can deploy this across your enterprise and mix and match. And one of the things I think that differentiates us from a lot of our competitors is the fact that we focus on the fact that it's not one size fits all. And really, when you start to look at cloud offerings, it's important to go through a process where you decide on user segmentation and determine that this subset of users here are going to need the most in terms of what we offer of collaboration and email capabilities. And then here's another subset over here that maybe touch the computer every month just to get some very simple updates. So they just need basic email. And so we have all of these packages and different offerings available so that you can really fit the cloud solution to your enterprise.
Okay, so what's the simple package? Let's say I'm a small business and I have 100 employees, and I just want to, kind of get into some of these Lotus Live cloud offerings. What sort of the base package that you would offer someone like that?
So you'd most likely start with Lotus Live Connections.
Okay.
So with Lotus Live Connections, you're going to get the two, I think, big bang features of Lotus Live, the ones that really seem to resonate with people, and that's the file sharing capability and the activities. And again, if you've seen the on-premises Lotus Connections product, this is not a full and complete implementation of that at this time, but the files and the activities components are very, very similar to what you get in that particular package. I actually use it all the time now to overcome a lot of the pain points that I have in terms of file sharing. Quite often I'm sending rather large files out to customers that might be an executable file or some series of presentations that we showed them when we were on site, and they asked for the presentations. And you know, when you're collaborating externally and you're using email, you always are running into the barriers of, well, their system wouldn't accept the message because it was an EXE, or it was zipped up and couldn't read the contents, or it's too big. And so you have all of these different pain points, and in fact that really sharing files really is not the via email is not the most productive way that you can share them. So I actually now utilizing Lotus Live for all of my file sharing. When I have these huge files, when I have a variety of files that I need to get out there and collaborate around with other people, I'll put them out there in Lotus Live. And of course, it's more than just a glorified file share, because then there's additional functionality that you can place around that particular file. So of course, you can tag it and you can add a description to it, but you can choose who you want to share that with, and you can get granular down to fact that I want to share this with particular people, with a whole group, with my entire corporation, or even if you have the ability to do so, if your administrator hasn't locked it down, the ability to share that file with the entire Lotus Live infrastructure. And that's where you get to the point where you can actually start collaborating outside those boundaries. And when I do send files to a customer, for example, again, not many of my on-premises customers are utilizing Lotus Live yet, so they don't actually have an account. But through what we call our guest model, I can actually just enter their email address in when I upload that file, and they'll get a notification of that and be able to come to Lotus Live and download the file directly.
Okay, so that's so that would be something for someone who, regardless of whether or not they already have Lotus Notes in house or any kind of Lotus products, that's something they could use with whatever their infrastructure is, right?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, that's a pain point that we see all over the place. Every customer we talk to, and it typically file sharing either falls into the, well, we do everything via email, and then you develop islands of knowledge, and you develop, obviously, the thing that administrators hate is the reply to all with history with the 200 megabyte attachment, soon as exponentially multiplied across the organization. So you've got a lot of problems sharing stuff via email. You've got a lot of problems sharing stuff on a share drive, because once it's out there, it's just this gigantic amorphous blob of stuff. And Lotus Live Files really helps you put some content and structure around those and makes it a lot easier to share the content with the people that it's relevant to. And then activities is hard to describe if you haven't already seen it, but activities is another component of Lotus Live, which we see really just tremendous value in people utilizing. And I guess I should mention now that you can go out to Lotus Live and get a 30-day trial for free. You can just go out to lotuslive.com and you can sign up and you can get a 30-day trial where you can test out all of these features and functions to get an idea of what we're talking about.
So, Chris, one of the questions I had written down here for you was the general interest in cloud services.
Mm-hmm.
You know, What are you hearing? I mean, are you seeing, lots of customers asking about the cloud? Are you seeing, a dribble? I mean, how many people are interested in the cloud? What types of customers are interested in the cloud? And then the second question I have onto that is, what kind of barriers for those looking to embrace cloud services, what are they running into? Like, are the security and audit people inside of an organization putting the brakes on, moves to the cloud, et cetera? So I got two for you there.
Okay. Well, the first one is easy, and I'll speak, again, this is all from my experience in the field, but I can tell you that pretty much every one of my customers is interested in the cloud in some way, shape, or form. And some are obviously much more interested in than others. Some have a much greater idea, much better idea of what cloud is and what it might mean to them. So, and typically this is, in a lot of cases, it's the shiny new thing syndrome. And that's the thing. You can't open a trade magazine today. You can't get on the internet and look at any kind of IT content without hearing about the cloud in some way, shape, or form. And so, especially when you're talking to the level of the CIO and they're reading these magazines, they get a lot of their information from CIO Mag and other sources like that. And they're saying, wow, cloud will let me have self-service capabilities and I'll have better economies of scale. And the thing that's going to do is it's going to save me tons and tons of money. And so, of course, they're very interested in that. So you've got the shiny new thing. It's the, we love to follow trends in the IT industry, of course. So it's the thing that everyone's talking about. It's the thing that everyone is chasing after. So you've certainly got that. But you also have a lot of companies who are seeing the value. Either they've kind of got their feet wet with some other software as a service vendors like Salesforce.com, for instance, or they've been reading a lot of case studies around why cloud might actually make sense to them. And we actually did a survey back in July 2009 where we were asking companies why they might actually be considering the cloud. And of course, as you would expect, a large majority, I think somewhere in the order of 77% of the respondents said that the main reason they were looking at cloud was reducing costs. And then shortly behind that was the idea of faster time to value, because they didn't have to spend all their IT resources building up the infrastructure and buying hardware and deploying software. They could really just worry about getting the business value very quickly. So we've had a lot of interest in it from our customers. And then, again, some of them have just heard the term cloud and they don't even really know what it means when we come to the table. And so we have to spend the time first really setting the stage is what does cloud mean? What different types of clouds are there? Because we really see there being what we call the private cloud, the public cloud, and then this thing called the hybrid cloud. So we kind of educate them first on what the cloud model is and what it has to offer. Then we talk specifically about the Lotus strategy and all of the things that you've heard about the Lotus strategy in the last few years, the ability to have role-based, process-driven, in-context stuff across a variety of devices and all these different delivery models. All of those things still ring true from a cloud perspective. So we give our unique twist, if you will, on how the Lotus collaboration strategy fits into cloud. And then that allows us to get into then the actual conversation about, okay, now that we have uncovered what cloud is, what it's about, if you're still interested, then let's talk about Lotus Live.
Are you seeing Lotus Live as something that is replacing existing technologies within companies, or it's giving them these brand new features and functions that they simply didn't have before?
I think it's more of enhancing what they have today. And to be honest, the CIO, from the CIO perspective, the whole idea of super cheap mail really is something that they see stars, right? As soon as they hear all these things getting bandied about how cheap the cloud is, it can reduce all my costs, it can solve world hunger, it can make me dinner, it can do everything. They're very enamored of the cloud, but when we really then start to drill into the reality of it, they see that it gives them the ability to take what they have today. In most cases, an existing Notes and Domino shop is not going to wholesale just be able to take everything they have and throw it over the wall, and magically everything is now in the cloud, and they'll have all the capabilities and services that they had before. But rather, they're going to be able to get new services, some of the things that they don't have, like the files capabilities, the activities, and some of the other things, some of the collaborative pieces that they may not have in-house. And they can, through this idea of the hybrid model, where you have some stuff in the cloud and some stuff on-premises, they can really start to integrate those and get even more value out of the current Lotus investment that they have. So in most cases, I don't see this as a wholesale replacement, but rather a way to enhance what they have today. And also to what we're seeing is customers looking at Lotus Live as a way to bring collaboration services to some of those workers that are unserved today. If you have a factory worker who's out there on the floor and spends most of their day there and just needs some basic capabilities of email, it would be quite overkill to put a PC down there for him and give him a full notes client and all of that, when they could have a kiosk that they could come up to and just very easily get to their mail and some of the files that they need via Lotus Live, for instance.
Well, I have to ask, you mentioned integration here, and that's one of the big mysteries to me, I guess, as far as the way Lotus Live works. What are my options for integration between all of my local systems at a company, LDAP and all of the existing repositories and email and this big Lotus Live cloud thing out there in the sky?
Mm-hmm. It depends on the specific offering that we're talking about and what we're trying to do. For example, we can actually integrate. We typically if we want us to integrate with your directory, let's talk Lotus Live iNotes. So let's just very briefly talk about iNotes, which is not the iNotes that most of you know today behind the firewall. This is actually a very lightweight web-based messaging, email, and personal calendar. And typically, we will position this for those, again, unserved or underserved workers. And so let's take the case of iNotes. Maybe we have a health system. We've got a bunch of nurses out there, and they typically don't have email today. We want to provide them with that capability via Lotus Live iNotes. So maybe on the back end, you have some other mail system, might be Notes, might be Exchange, something like that. But we can actually, utilizing SAML, we'll be able to integrate with that back-end directory so that you can have those people available. So from the inside, folks can address to the folks on Lotus Live iNotes, and the Lotus Live iNotes people will be able to access the directory and be able to email back to the folks on the inside, vice versa. So there's some of that there. When you talk about Lotus Live Notes, which is version 2 of that is currently in beta now, and Lotus Live Notes is really an implementation of Domino in the cloud. It's a multi-tenanted Domino server that's in the cloud. So you can utilize your Lotus Notes client that you use today. Your 80852 client is what it will be actually. Or you can utilize your web browser, and you'll have the capability of accessing your mail that way. Well, there you've got your Domino directory. You've got many of the components that you're used to today. And we're working on mechanisms to make it very easy for you to, again, this hybrid model. We don't have a positioning for your applications yet today. It's just email, but you can keep those applications inside behind the firewall, and your users can access their mail via the cloud. They can access their applications via your on-premises server, and really, if we do our job right, they won't know where it's coming from, and it really won't matter to them.
Chris, one thing that Julian kind of asked, right, was about, well, I'm going to just say it, you know, what about giving us the ability to create applications, right, for the Lotus Live platform? Is that anywhere in the roadmap?
So specifically Lotus Notes and Domino apps, or are you just talking applications in general?
No, let's just say that, you know, you have a customer who's purchased, you know, Lotus Live connections, and there's an application that I wrote. Maybe they want to share ideas with each other, right? That I'd love to offer, you know, as part of the Lotus Live platform, right? Mm-hmm. Is that right. Something that, you know, allow ISVs to add value to the Lotus Live platform by creating, you know, applications other right. than the Lotus Live core ones?
Right. Great question. Again, I probably should have prefaced this in the beginning saying, obviously, I'm not product management and I can't speak for them, and anything I say, of course, can be changed at any point in time. But I think that's definitely in the roadmap.
I want to talk to your supervisor.
What you have in what you have in Lotus Live is we're developing this core set of content that we're providing as part of the service. So the things we talked about, web conferencing and the ability to share files and your contact and profiles management and activities, those kind of things are core components of Lotus Live that we're offering up. But really, as we do today, we rely very heavily on partners, and I think you'll see that third-party integration becomes an important aspect of Lotus Live as well. And we've already started integrating some capabilities. Salesforce.com and LinkedIn and Skype, for example, have hooks into Lotus Live. And going forward, we'll be making APIs available, and we'll be working with other content providers and with traditional ISVs around extending this core collaboration capability that we offer today. So we're not there yet. It's in the roadmap, at least as far as I know. I can't say when that is or how long that's going to take, but it's certainly something that we see building out over the future.
You know, Chris, you mentioned my friend Mark Benioff's company, Salesforce.com. So I was wondering how and who, well, who are you running into as far as competition when trying to sell Lotus Live?
Well, I mean, as you would expect, really the only ones that I've run into myself is Google and Microsoft. And not even Microsoft so much. It's really the Google's services that we typically end up against, just because, again, they have the name recognition, because you go home and you use Google all the time. That and you see, you might see a little ad there that says, "Hey, we'll give you Google Apps, and it's $50 a user per year." And I'm sure we've all seen the emails floating around that you may have got an unsolicited email about, you know, moving from Lotus Notes to Google Apps, and it's the shiny new thing. The nice thing about it, at least in all of the particular situations that I've been involved in, is as soon as you start diving a little bit beneath the covers, you'll see that while Google Apps is maybe fine for, you know, a little mom and pop shop, when you're talking about enterprise and enterprise content and all of the things that people are used to today with their on-premises deployments, especially of Lotus Notes and Domino, it really can't hold a candle. So not so worried about them. But it does kind of bring us back to that same question. I don't want to forget your second question from a little while back, Bruce, which was some of the barriers and obstacles. And really, yeah, what I've seen so far, you were dead on with the fact that this is a scary and strange new world for some groups within the enterprise. And security, definitely one of those. Audit, definitely one of those. Those are folks that are used to having very, very strict and tight control over everything within the enterprise. And the idea of letting go of that and having your data be available on a server somewhere else, and the fact that I don't have the ability to just go charging into the server room and audit everything at any point in time, makes those people pause a little bit. So it's definitely a re-education, not only of the IT folks as they're starting to learn more and more about the cloud, but especially we have to work in tandem with the security folks, the audit folks, legal, perhaps a way that we've done much more than we've done in the past, in order to make sure that we meet all the criteria that all of those different groups have. And it's kind of interesting to be in some of those meetings when you bring those folks together for the first time, and especially the audit and security folks, and that you want to do what, and you want to take our data where. It's an interesting conversation that we have with them.
Okay, well, you know, we're running up probably a little over 30 minutes here, and just I guess one more question for me, I think, before I'm done with you, Chris, is you know, from a business partner standpoint, you know, I guess most of us don't work for IBM, so if I'm a business partner and my customers are interested, or you know, they're asking questions about this, you know, how do I, as someone outside of IBM, get involved with, you know, kind of presenting this to my customers and offering it to them?
Mm-hmm. I'd say, you know, if you don't, you already have an account today, so I would just suggest, you know, really getting familiar with all of the different components of Lotus Live, and the best way to do that is just to try to start utilizing it in your day-to-day work. And I think that the way that I've facilitated that with myself was, again, I've got all these tools and more, obviously, behind the firewall. So I'm using Lotus Connections on a daily basis with my colleagues and same time and all those other capabilities behind the firewall. So I don't have that capability, though, with all of my customers. So by utilizing Lotus Live for all those interactions, I was able to very, very quickly find the value in it, and then I was able to start articulating that to everyone else. So from a business partner standpoint, I would say, you know, not only become very familiar with those tools, but also I'm sure that whoever the Lotus sales and technical sales counterparts are, colleagues of mine in your area, would be very, very happy to partner with you and help you work through any of those kind of things as well.
All right, Chris, thank you so much for being on episode 114, the last episode of the podcast we did with our friends from ISW and Australian Wildfire was February 18th. So talk about, let's see, March, April, May, June, four months, Julian, without podcasting, and we have Blatnik on the first episode?
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
Yeah.
No, it's not sad at all, Chris. We love you.
I think that I just invite everyone to, if you haven't already, go to lotuslab.com, try it out. Again, get your 30-day free trial, see what you think. The cloud market is just exploding. And besides the fact that, of course, you know, we hear about it in all the trade magazines, the market behind cloud is just growing at an incredible pace. It's a $47 billion market in 2008, expected to reach $126 billion by 2012. So it is something that you probably will be asked about at some point, and it would be great to educate yourself around what we have to offer before the CIO comes asking how you're going to save all this money. And to that point, I guess the one thing that I want to throw in here too is some of the other people that have been a little resistant to the whole concept of the cloud and our collaboration offerings, of course, are administrators, because they think that, oh my gosh, if they take everything away from me and go to the cloud, then I have no job. And again, typically what we see is the fact that we may be able to, again, probably not take everything away, because we're going to have this, in most situations, recommend a hybrid model where you'll still have some of your stuff on premises. We'll just take some of that into the cloud for you. But in terms of what that administrator is going to do, they'll be able to spend generally more value-added time than just perhaps some of the basic administrative tasks they do. Some of that can be offloaded and really give them the capability of providing more value to the enterprise. And I don't think we've seen any instances yet of the fact that, okay, well, we're moving to Lotus Live, so now we're going to go ahead and lay off everybody. And in fact, they just are able to deploy those people in a smarter way. So there'll certainly still be things for you to do also from an administrative perspective around Lotus Live. There's someone that's going to still have to register users and go through all the normal administrative processes that you would expect. So for those of you who are administrators, don't be scared of this whole idea of the cloud. Again, go out there, check it out, and I think you'll find that there's a lot of places where you can add value when you look at those services.
Chris, if people want to learn more about you, where would they do that?
If they want to learn more about me, really should have no reason to do that, but I do have a blog, interfacematters.com. It hasn't been kept up for a while since I haven't been doing any development. Maybe that'll change soon, hopefully. I'd love to get back into doing more of that. But yeah, Interface Matters is typically where I hang out.
Okay. Julian, any other questions for our friend, Mr. Chris Blatnik?
Nope, I'm good.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for tuning in to episode 114. We'll catch you real soon. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Behave. Giddy up, Julian.
Giddy up.